Now, when I do segments like this, I had someone tell me the other day, you take it too easy on the media. That's pretty bizarre, actually, that someone thinks I take it easy on the media. No, I'm trying to persuade. I am. I'm trying to help. First, let me get to these text messages, because these are just great. Last hour, we talked about this guy in Florida in just a few more things who was trying to break into an automotive supply or an automotive shop, and he had his little baby with him. Listen to this from Adam from Coopville. This here's a text. Todd, Mr. Breaking and Entering, who had his little kid with him, his toddler, Mr. Breaking and Entering must have got word from the southern border that if you have a kid with you when you break the law, they have to let you go. That's Adam from Coopville, member of the Email Hall of Fame. Hey, Todd, Kevin Spacey's star is right next to Trump's. Yeah, we talked about that in just a few more things, that they're banning, they're going to get rid of the president's star, but not Bill Cosby's or Harvey Weinstein. Then, Paul, I have no idea what's wrong with you that you ended up over on NPR 94.9. You're probably trying to go to 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side, weren't you? Hey, on NPR, they're talking about Sand Transit purchasing people's land. They're trying to sell it as a great idea for the greater good. See, I told you the texts are pristine. And then this, we were talking about this ad that got banned by Facebook. That it's an ad by this phenomenal Republican candidate.
In Cambodia, under Pol Pot's Khmer Rouge, being young and single often meant a gruesome life.
So her dad had to pretend to be marrying somebody and pointed to the prettiest woman he could find, and she said yes. And she tells this story because her family escaped Cambodia. She's a Republican running for Congress in California. That ad was banned by Facebook. Dave the Digital. I do digital media for a Republican, local Republican. He had a video of his personal life and struggles. It included a picture of his son in the hospital. Facebook denied my video, denied the ad because it was shocking and sensational. I appealed and asked which specific standard I violated. Vague response, our decision stands. That's why I'm going to continue to push really hard for someone to hear me on the reverse boycott of Facebook and Twitter. Don't doubt my knowledge of digital media. I spent a long time in digital advertising. I know what I'm saying here. Now, back to the local stuff. Mitzi Juhaknik, who I like, been on the programs, been at debates with us, is saying that this levy request they're making for a fingerprinting levy, that's absolutely essential for fighting crime.
It helps us catch murderers, rapists, and other violent offenders.
King County Sheriff today reiterating what Dombowski is saying. She says if APHIS is rejected, the impact will be more than just hundreds of cases not being solved.
I think it would be bigger than that, Hannah. I think because we're talking about all agencies in King County. It's a regional system.
Right. And why is it on a levy? No, it's a serious question. Why is it on a levy? This is part of the massive swindle of King County Metro. They're the ones who should be on a levy, for God's sake. The core responsibility of government is to protect people. Now, I mean, there's not a lot of reason to try to protect people in King County because you got, you know, heroin Dan Satterberg as the King County attorney. And you can arrest as many people as you want, but
our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
But why are the buses, why are they not on levy? Why is the pay of government workers, why is that not on levy? Why is it that cops and firefighters are on levy? Well, we know why, don't we, Governor Inslee?
That is a brain-dead policy.
Couldn't agree with you more. First correct thing you've ever said on the show. Speaking of Inslee, and speaking of Seattle, and speaking of greed. So reading this piece in the Seattle Times about Washington farmers and dairy farmers not being able to get the help they need, and they really are short on people. And, of course, they've been relying on illegal immigrants to do the work of picking apples and cherries and pears. The pay scale, I was just reading this. I found out you can get $20 an hour, $22 an hour to go pick these fruits for people or to work on dairy farms. Here's the thing about Seattle that I've never really thought of. It's the selfishness. The controlled, centrally planned economies where Seattle is making making it possible for people to live here who really can't afford to live here. So they're going to do rent subsidies. They're going to demand a minimum wage, which is, you know, bringing in kiosks and actually losing people money. It's a net loss. But they're doing everything they can to pack more and more people into Seattle. Now, if you've ever watched Little House on the Prairie, you know damn well that Charles and the big guy, what was his name? What was the guy's name that was Charles' buddy? The guy used to play football, huge guy. They used to go to smaller towns. When work didn't exist in Walnut Grove, they went elsewhere. If you watch the Waltons, Dad Walton, he had to stop running the mill because there wasn't work and he had to go elsewhere. And John Boy had to go elsewhere. But the greed, the avarice of these cities, they want the census count. They want to pack people into these cities. Dory Monson did the math. We have an extra congressional seat because of illegal immigrants, and that's a different issue. But packing people into the cities with an artificial economy, taking from people who are producing and allowing street people to live here and making it possible for them to steal resources from homeless people who actually need it and want it. What's my point? $20 an hour, $21 an hour, $22 an hour. Yeah, it's hard work. Yeah, it's seasonal. But it's there. But why go to it? We got Seattle saying, no, we'll take care of you here. Why go to it? Why move? Why go to Yakima? Why do that hard work? This is Seattle stealing out of the economic pool of prospective employees who could go work in a seasonal work like that because Seattle wants the census count. They want the power. It's avarice and it's greed. Remember when Sleepy Jay Inslee was deeply, deeply in love with biofuels? We need to have the biofuels. It turns out that putting corn and such into our cars is actually harder on the environment. It is creating bad algae problems across the country. It's creating emissions that can apparently create ground-level ozone. That's the stuff that fuels fog, etc. This is all from a new report from the EPA. It's called Biofuels and the Environment, the second triennial report to Congress. Well, turns out also it's driving up food costs, etc. And people were warned about this. John Stossel warned about this.
The Congressional Budget Office says for each gallon of gas replaced with ethanol, we pay $1.78 in subsidy. But at least our money stays in the country.
It makes me feel good. I'm keeping the money in America.
Food prices are higher because so much farmland now goes to corn used for ethanol. And we consume lots of corn. Corn syrup sweetens thousands of foods. It helps create the meat we eat.
Fortunately, the president is looking to expand ethanol, but maybe this report will stop him in his tracks. Jay Inslee, what were you on when you were talking about these biofuels?
I don't make stuff up. I don't have phony math.
Oh, okay, I got it. Thank you for straightening that out. We'll come back on the Todd Erman Show on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Remember that woman got hired by the New York Times? Yeah, the anti-white racist. What's her Wikipedia page say about her? Her name is Sarah Jeong. And by the way, the platform, Facebook, that kicked Alex Jones off, I don't give a whit about Jones. But what about using that Facebook to organize flash mob attacks against an African-American woman? What about that? What about this? Are you finally ready for an actual boycott, a reverse boycott? Are folks actually ready to do something? And here's the closing question. What is the most potent brand of propaganda? Most potent brand of propaganda. Think about that. That's young Tom on his game with bumps. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. What's the most powerful form of propaganda? You know what it is in the modern era? It's silence. Silence. Now, think about this. Can you be angry about something you don't know occurred? Can you have context around an event if you never hear the other side. The most powerful form of propaganda in a social media age is silence. Yes, it's not the hatred that the media is spewing. It's not activities like this. This is long, and I may get bored with it, and you may get bored with it, but Tom put a lot of work into bleeping it. This is Antifa, who used the Facebook platform, in my judgment, that's what they do, to organize a flash crowd to go verbally attack and threaten and try to elicit violence from Charlie Kirk from Turning Point USA and Candace Owens. Now, my point about silence, I want to explain that in a second. Okay, the propaganda of silence in a social media environment. Because you and I are going to share this and hear this because of social media. So they're in a diner, they're having breakfast through social media platforms, no doubt. Antifa learned of this, and you have a group of white people showing up to harass an African-American woman because she's eating breakfast.
We're called because we're eating breakfast and we happen to be conservative.
They're not Nazis, they're soft fascists. They're the soft fascists. They're not Nazis.
Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your capitalist breakfast.
Filming? This is crazy. So, ready?
One, two, three! The food must be! Four, five, six! The food must be! One, two, three!
So I'm bored. They go outside and they're met with that noise and the whistleblowing, etc. They're trying to get somebody to blow up. They want someone to punch them so they can say, look, 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 the violence. The power of propaganda as silence is this. You know about this. People who read the Daily Caller know about this. Your neighbors have no idea. So, yeah, we try to share it. Facebook algorithm doesn't want people to know these things. Now, it used to be that Facebook wanted your liberal friends to see your political posts because it was engendering arguing. And Zuckerberg is freaked out about that, so it appears he's backing back from it. The power of silent propaganda is story selection. Because modern propaganda, it's about confusion, crazy making, or the left likes to say gaslighting. Let me give you an example. There's a guy I still consider a friend who just posted on Facebook his cartoon notion of what conservatives, or many of us, think about global warming. What he posted is, there's no such thing as global warming, but if there is such a thing as global warming, then humans didn't cause it. If humans did cause it, there's nothing we can do about it. The propaganda of silence is that Mark has never actually heard things like this. Why was one of the biggest spikes in global temperatures during the Renaissance when there were no combustion engines? And by the way, that spike in global temperatures brought enormous gains in food production, reduction of poverty. The most powerful form of propaganda in a social media era, in a Googling era, where we each can check facts, all of us, is silence. It's not reporting these things. So we, show prepping, came across Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens. They went on Fox News and they were asked, what's it like to be eating breakfast to have Antifa show up and try to elicit violence from you?
They want us to apologize or back away from our support of the president. They are so frustrated that this president is succeeding, and right, they cannot reconcile with the fact that he's going to be the greatest president in modern American history and that the economy is booming. And you see them losing their mind and they're resorting to these mob thuggish tactics.
So we've heard Charlie Kirk's point of view on the president, and we've heard Candace Owens' point of view on the president. The power of propaganda of silence is that lots of African Americans are not going to hear Candace Owens. That's nefarious. I've always said the biggest form of media bias is story selection. Now, I've stepped that up a level. the most pernicious form of propaganda in the social media era is silence. Oh, we've got a question on the text line, 800-465-8770. Would you mind going over what a reverse boycott of Facebook would entail, please? Thanks from a loyal listener, Nancy. Nancy, it's this. We announce right now that unless Facebook issues a Bill of Rights that they're going to treat everybody equally without regard to ideology, come Christmas buying season, we as a group will click on ads that we have no intention of acting on. We're going to click on every ad we see. Why? Because it's going to cost their advertisers money for people who have no intention of ever buying anything they see advertised on Facebook. There's a specific way to make that happen that would really drive them nuts and would really affect them. Also in the text line, Todd, one way to defeat Antifa and all these other groups that are harassing conservatives while they eat or in hotels or whatever happens is by using their media platform to post false reports of conservatives. Here, there, 20, 30, 40 of those blanks running all over the place. Richard, that's brilliant. Richard from Everett, I love that. Yeah, false reports of conservatives. Okay, we'll come back on the Todd Herman Show at AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Trevor Noah, political scientist. He's actually doing something the left must do as regards socialism. They must do this. So that's why he's doing it. So Trevor Noah, sometimes comedian, oftentimes political scientist, decided to tell everybody about socialism. And it's a quick clip, then I'll tell you kind of the rest of his theory and why he's doing this.
Maybe like, socialism is what that is. Well, I don't like socialism. It's all in your mind. It's like you'll go like, wow, that person's good looking. And you're like, that's your cousin.
I guess conservatives date their cousin. He went on to describe socialism as schools, as roads, college funding. Now, Trevor Noah is a whole bunch of things. Among them is not stupid. He's impressionable. So why this? Why is the left busily trying to say, and they've been doing this for years, and you'll see it in social media constantly, oh, you don't like socialism? I guess you put out your own fires at your house. You don't call the fire department because you don't like socialism. Or like the only the rich kids should go to school because public school that's socialism. Oh, conservatard hashtag conservatard Trumptard hashtag. So why do this? If you were with your kid, tried to convince them that they already eat foods they don't like. You ever done that? But honey, pizza has tomato on it. But honey, ketchup is tomato. Sound like Homer Simpson. Lisa, that's purple. Purple's a fruit. You know what you're doing with your kids? Yeah, you're trying to say, oh, no, you've had this before. That's the game that they're undertaking. You already have it. Because Trevor Noah in this work he's doing, he's clearly a political agitator. He's clearly doing a good job of gaining an audience. Sometimes Trevor Noah is actually funny. Once or twice, he's even gone after Hillary Clinton. Remember when it came to pass that we learned that, what's his name? What's that guy's name who cries all the time? Jimmy? Late Night Jimmy? I don't watch any of these shows because I don't have a TV. I don't know. I can't remember Jimmy's name. Young Tom, what's Jimmy's name with the late night talk show?
Does it matter?
Because I'm making a point. He's Kimmel. The guy. Yeah, Kimmel. Do you remember when we found out that Jimmy Kimmel was getting talking points from Chucky Schumer, that Chucky Schumer was giving him talking points on health care, and then Kimmel went out and sobbed because his kid, God bless the medical world in our country, has saved his kid. His little kid was dying. I joined in prayer for that. You did too. Kimmel was working with Schumer. I wonder if Noah, I sincerely am wondering, I don't know, is working with Bernie Sanders types to normalize socialism. Because the name of the game is this, is to tell people that they're already in it. And that's the way of sort of averting this fear. So what is socialism? How do we describe it? The best and most potent way to describe it is to dare someone to do it. Dare them. And this should be undertaken at every level of conservative activism, such as it exists today. It's the You Go First movement. Very simple. Let's define socialism as what it actually is. It's a small group of people who decide who should have what, who should work where, what equality means, and then they go about taking from some and giving to others. And they go about saying, yeah, you aren't exactly right for that career, so we're going to steer you towards this career. In fact, we're going to demand that you undertake this career. And we start a national Go First movement. We set up a system. Set up a go fund a bunch of socialists. I'm not kidding. Put together 10, 12 million bucks, go fund them, and then start the You Go First movement. We go first. And go straight to people who say, well, socialism isn't scary. We already have it. It's already the fire department, etc. Okay. So then why don't you do this? Let's go full socialism right now. Here's an app. Here's a website. You go sign up. We are instantly going to redistribute your things. We'll go full socialism. In fact, we might go full socialism in regards to your career. We might come along and say, we suggest that you give up your job. Now, religiously speaking, from the Christian perspective, put down your money and your wealth. Follow me. It's the hardest thing. Admit that to me, please. I'm not the only one. Right? Put down your wealth. Follow me, Christ said. Well, that's Christ. That's divine in my judgment. Really hard. When you're faced with the reality of socialism, to go first. That's why the party leaders never get involved in actually having it done unto them. So since the left is trying to normalize this now and probably working on talking points with people like Trevor Noah through the Bernie Sanders connection, we need to push back with Go First. We will come back with your longer form communication with the show, including an absolutely heart-wrenching note from a woman about bullying. Form communications with us allows you an opportunity to share deeper thoughts, longer theories, etc. That's through email, therman@ktth.com, or on a private note or a wall post to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Todd Herman Show. The text messages, we throw those in throughout the show, 800-465-8770. And of course, Twitter, where I'm always hanging out, at Todd E. Herman. Start things off with Martin from Kent. On the topic of Senator Joe Fain, one of my least favorite people in the Senate. Todd, I was about to cast my ballot when I realized Joe Fain's name was on that ballot. Having learned from you what he did to girls and women when he let grown men force their way into their showers, I stopped and had a real problem. So I called their campaign headquarters to ask them about it and see if Fain had had a change of heart. What they told me is that you are a liar. That Fain had never voted for anything of the sort. You talk about this so regularly that I thought there's no way you could be lying, so I did my own research, something you are always encouraging us to do. I found out they were lying. Fain voted to let stand the rule of the so-called Human Rights Commission that allowed that outrage. So I called his office back, and I eventually found the same person who told me that was simply allowing a rule to stand, not a vote in favor. Absolute weasel words. So I wrote in your name instead of voting for Joe Fain, who is now politically dead to me, Martin. Martin, thanks for the note back. I appreciate it, or the note to me. Yeah, it's moral cowardice. And look, Fain's probably going to win. No one's going to launch a campaign against him, and Senate's so close that we're going to need his weak votes. At least on a fiscal front, he's a conservative. That's the only issue on which he's a conservative. He also voted to force Christian businesses to pay for abortions. Joe Fain is a coward. He's afraid to debate these issues. I mean, literally afraid. It's my understanding that after he had voted to allow women or allow men into the showers of women and girls, he planned in advance to have the sexual left attend a town hall meeting. They got advance notice. And then Fain, according to my sources, Fain then sent a note out to Real People saying this meeting's coming up. So it was packed to the gills with people, not even from his district, who were there to intimidate anybody who dared speak against allowing grown men to shower with little girls and women. So, yeah, Fain will probably win. But you know what? He can't stop being a moral coward. He'll always be that. Well, I mean, I guess he could change. People can be redeemed. I need redemption every day. I benefit from redemption every single day. Chris from Redmond on the splinters in our eyes. Speaking of my own need for redemption. Hey, Todd, loved your choice to read the letter from the new listener in the second hour today. That's a story people need to hear about. Yeah, Chris is writing regarding a woman who moved up here from San Diego. And her husband collects guns, and one of the neighbors asked, do you have guns? And she said, yep, and show them where they were secured. And a busybody neighbor, who wasn't even the one who asked about the guns, a busybody neighbor put out through the neighborhood discussion that there's a gun nut on the block, etc. And this lady had gone to her house, the busybody neighbor's house, and asked her if she had prescription drugs and were they locked up. And it shocked this older busybody lady into realizing that she had her own problems to deal with, that the gun safe down the street was not a threat. Anyway, that's what Chris is talking about. Todd, loved your choice to read the letter from the new listener in the second hour today. That's a story people need to hear about. Quick thought about the reference to worrying about a splinter in your neighbor's eye and ignoring the log in your own eye. I've thought of that admonition as having an extra inspirational message. The log I have in my own eye seems but a splinter to my neighbor. What if we as humanity could all simultaneously lean over and pluck the splinter from our neighbor's eyes while we have them do the same for us? What does Christ say? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Perhaps this could be one of those actions of a loving neighbor, loving you as they love themselves. Just a thought. Love the show, Chris. Chris, it's a beautiful thought. And, you know, that's one of the things we try to do with removing people from bubble thought. I try to do the best I can to remove myself from bubble thought by spending time reading leftist publications and, frankly, by visiting with people in newsrooms and trying to hear and trying to understand. I do that with my daughter, try to hear and understand, because I have a tendency as a dad to want to do all the speaking and the teaching and the preaching and the instructing. And you know what? I've done too much of it. So last night I listened, sat and listened. I learned a lot. I learned a lot. Paul, the Seattle area, on the topic of taking calls on the show. Hey, Rodeo Clown, once in a while when you read emails, people ask you to take more calls. Please don't. That is one reason why your show is absolutely the best. If I want to listen to callers on a talk show, I'll listen to Medved or the guy from Portland who does a show in Seattle in a national show. The calls were the reason I stopped listening to the guy from Portland. I want to listen to the show host, not the callers. Your show kicks ASS. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that very much. We'll take calls from time to time. The phones are always open, but we move so quickly through topics, it just doesn't lend itself to it. But that's why the text line is open. Any time you have something to say, use the text line. 800-465-8770. Any time you have something to say during the show, hit us up on Twitter, at Todd E. Herman. We try to work in those throughout the show so you never have to sit there on hold. Susie from Western Washington on the topic of bullying, which I shared last night in the personal notes and got a lot of response, a lot of advice. I'm aware of two women who were savagely sexually bullied in junior high. I saw this movie eighth grade, and that's what inspired this. And I've been struggling with whether to try to get apologies from the now men who bullied them. Most women have told me, do not do it. Don't touch it. Don't go near it. And frankly, most men have said the same thing. So I guess I shan't. Susie from Western Washington on bullying. I grew up Catholic in the 70s. My mom and dad divorced when I was 3 and my brother was 5. My dad came back to my mom, got her pregnant, then left. My sister was born out of wedlock. My dad died when I was 5. I don't remember him. We went to Catholic schools. My mom was a divorcee. My mom was also very good looking. All of the husbands of her parish were very hot for my mom. All of the wives from the parish stayed away from my mom. I wore glasses in second grade. My teeth were too big for my mouth. I was called Bucky, Four Eyes, etc. We were teased because my mom was a divorcee and hot to trot, and we were very poor. 95% of the kids had two parents. We were outcast. Thank goodness for school uniforms. My mom ruled with an iron fist. I was the middle child, so I would take the blame just to get her to quit raging. Age 11, she told me I was a piece of excrement and wouldn't amount to anything. I suffered 2 broken arms and 4 broken ribs. I was kicked out at the age of 16. My brother started sexually molesting me when I was 10. Remember me being Catholic? Incest was very bad. Sad at age 10 to think I was going to hell. I finally stood my ground at age 13. I was now worried I would get pregnant. With no father in the house to teach me what behaviors was good between men and women, I felt a bad man. I believed too much BS and settled because I was raised to feel unworthy of love. I dated anybody from my high school senior year. Junior year, a guy in my class spread a rumor that I, quote, did the football team. I was still a virgin unless you count my brother raping me. I didn't wear flashy clothes and was self-conscious about my chest. I was a very fit jock, but covered up. About 15 years ago, I told my mom and sister what my brother did to me. I was screamed at, and my daughter and I were ostracized from my family. My brother was told that I spilled the beans. First, he emailed an apology to me saying he's very sorry that I misconstrued playing doctor as rape. And then he blamed me. He was 2 years older than me. Then he recanted his apology and said it was a newfangled church I was going to that made me come up with this nonsense. I got into drugs when I was 25, married a man who told me he didn't love me, but I should stay with him because I couldn't get anybody else to love me. Mentally and physically abusive he was. I stayed there for 10 years. He tried to kill me in front of our daughter. I finally got away. The second man I married was bipolar and self-medicated with booze. I got away from him. Still to this day, my brother denies any abuse and will not connect the dots. I'm sorry for the length of this email. I doubt the two men, teens at the time, will write a letter of forgiveness for their past misdeeds to the women you know. My mom has no regrets for her behavior toward me. My brother says I am to blame. I finally developed a backbone at age 42. I'm with a great guy now who knows the value of a good woman. Thank you, Susie. Susie, it's a brave note, and I thank you for sharing it. May God bless you and comfort you, and I am so sorry for what you've been through. This is the Todd Herman Show. We will come back at the top of the hour. Believe it or not, Sleepy Jay Inslee is deeply concerned about the propriety of the vote, the sanctity of the vote. Up next on the Todd Herman Show, AM 770 KTTH.